Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, Text 20. Prastana bimuko api enam anugraha vilambitaha pashyan padma palashaksho na prataste suhit sata prastana bimuko prastanabhimukho pyenam anugraha vilambitaha pashyan padma palashaksho na prataste suhit satam prastanabhimukho pyenam anugraha vilambitaha pashyan padma palashaksho na prataste suhit satam prastana bhimukho pyenam anugraha vilambitaha pashyan padma palashaksho na prataste suhit satam. Vaishnavis, prastana to leave. Abhimukaha, ready. Api, although. Enam, him. Pritu, anugraha, by kindness. Vilambitaha, detained. Pashyan, seeing. Padmapalasha akshaha, the Lord, whose eyes are like lotus petal, whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower. Nam, not. Pratashte, departed. Suhit, the well-wisher. Satam, of the devotees. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Please repeat. The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the words Sahrit Satam are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always very inclined towards his devotee and is always thinking of the devotee's well-being. This is not partiality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is equal to everyone, samoham sarva bhuteshu. But to one who particularly engages in his service, he is very much inclined. In another place, the Lord says that a devotee always exists in his heart, and that he also exists always in the heart of the devotee. The special inclination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pure devotee is not unnatural, nor is it partiality. For example, sometimes a father has several children, but he has special affection for one child who is very much inclined toward him. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satara yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Those who constantly engage in the devotional service of the Lord in love and affection are directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sitting as the Supersoul in everyone's heart. The Lord is not far away from the devotee. He is always in everyone's heart, but only the devotee can realize the Lord's presence, and thus he is directly connected, and he takes instruction from the Lord at every moment. Therefore, there is no chance of a devotee's being in error, nor is there any partiality on the part of the Lord for his pure devotees. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Verse again, the Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. So this is a very extraordinary verse. It represents the essence, the ultimate goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, to be engaged in loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we can just put ourselves into this scene and reflect upon what is actually being represented here. It's really quite astonishing, quite amazing. The Lord is looking at his devotee, Maharaj Prithu, and he wants to go. It's time for him to leave, but because of the love that he feels for his devotee, he can't leave. Now, if anybody's ever been in love, so to speak, with someone, then you know that at the moment of separation, you know, you don't want to leave. You know, you're looking into the eyes of your beloved and you can't go. You know, you don't want to leave. You know, it's a very common feeling. Of course, on the material side of things, you know, we see this, these so-called loving affairs, they very quickly deteriorate into something else. But they're a reflection of an eternal reality. And this is ultimately what Krishna consciousness means. It means understanding that ultimately, yes, there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead who is a person, and we are also persons. And the connection between us is one of love, prema, prema pumarta mahan. There are many goals of life, you know, according to the Vedic understanding there is. And we tend to get absorbed in these other goals of life. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma, you know, we want to be great religionists. You know, we want to be followers of the regulative principles. We want to be known as religious personalities according to that standard. Dharma, artha. We have to struggle to maintain ourselves in this world. Everyone has to do it. We have to find some source of income, some job, some way of support, and we may pray to God for it, but somehow or other, we struggle for these things. We struggle for economic development individually and collectively. You know, we always have our eye on the bottom line, the bank account, how much is coming in, how much is going out, how much debt do we have on our credit card, how are we going to get out of debt. We want to buy this, we want to go here, there, we have to calculate how are we going to do these things. Dharma, artha, kama. And we want some satisfaction. We want some pleasure. We have to get it. We need some entertainment. We need a break, a vacation, a you know, something. We need some satisfaction. And we try to get it in various ways. And then moksha. Sometimes we just want to give it all up. I've had enough of this. It's time to move on, get out, get away, give up these entanglements and responsibilities. But beyond that, prema pumarta mahan, love for God, the ultimate goal of life, beyond all of these. And here we're seeing, you know, Krishna looking at his pure devotee with love. And even though he wants to go, he can't leave. He's detained because of that feeling of love that's there between Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee. Sadhava hridayam mayam. Yes, the sadhu, the devotee, he's always in my heart. And I am in the heart of the devotees. And actually this love, it's there within our hearts as well. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunai, Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitti Karya Udai. Yes, the love for Krishna is there in the heart, but it's covered now. It's covered by various layers of material contamination. But that's the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movements, the purpose of the Sankirtan movement, to purify, you know, the heart and let that love for Krishna that's eternally there, you know, shine forth. And the ultimate expression of it will be to be able to enter into these personal loving exchanges with, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Now, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the special feelings that the Lord has for a devotee who is particularly surrendered and inclined towards the Lord is not partiality. And that's a little difficult to understand, you know, from our platform. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of the father who's equal to all the children but is favorable towards the one who's particularly inclined to him. Now, how many of you have brothers and sisters? Yeah, you had some. So you know that sometimes, to put it in the vernacular, one of the kids will suck up to the mother or the father. And the other kid will think, well, yeah, you know, you're the favorite, but that's because, you know, you're sucking up to the mother or the father, and they're getting all the attention. And so is that fair? Is that sort of is that the sort of thing that we're talking about here? Or sometimes it happens in organizations too, or even spiritual organizations. By the arrangement of Krishna, someone may have some, you know, position of spiritual master or some kind of authority or something, and then among, you could say, all the subordinates, all the children, maybe some are more expert at, quote, sucking up to the authority, and it may appear, well, there's some partiality there going on that may be, you know, that the other subordinates, other disciples, other children may not appreciate so much. So is that what's going on here? Because it sounds like it could be like that. But in these kinds of dealings, Krishna is very, you know, expert to determine, you know, what the actual motive is that, you know, a devotee may be displaying. On, you know, the material level, like, you know, a businessman or something may be more inclined to some other businessman who is bribing and, you know, trying to influence him in various ways with presents, diplomatic false words, and so many things like that. But Krishna is very expert at seeing through all that. You know, an ordinary father, an ordinary boss, an ordinary politician, an ordinary businessman may not be so very expert in seeing through the various selfish motives that a subordinate or a son or a daughter or, you know, just, you know, somebody or some type of follower might have. And also, these personalities, they may have their, you know, the ones in the so-called superior positions, they may also have their motives, their material motives for distributing their favors or something like that. But Krishna's not like that. You know, he's very expert in discerning what the actual motive is. And he doesn't need anything himself from any of the jiva souls. He doesn't require anything himself. He's completely self-satisfied. Like an ordinary so-called leader in this world has motives, has needs, needs followers, needs certain things, wealth. So Krishna's not like that. He doesn't need anything, you know, from his followers. And he's very expert at seeing what their motives actually are. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tatam vachamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna really isn't partial. If he is favoring a particular devotee or is favorably inclined towards a particular devotee, it's because the devotee actually is more favorably inclined to him than others. Actually does have a deeper, more sincere kind of love. So it's not really possible to, quote, suck up to Krishna in the same way that one might be able to manipulate some other personality in this world. It's not really possible like that. Because first of all, Krishna has no need for anything that we have or anything that we might be able to give. And on the side of the devotee, the pure devotee, he has no material motive either. Anya bilashita sunyam. No material desire whatsoever. Of course, Krishna understands that when we first approach him, we're going to be full of material desires. And therefore, the way that Krishna reciprocates with us may seem contradictory at times. Because Krishna wants to encourage our love for him, our pure love for him. At the same time, he wants to remove whatever material attachments, you know, we may have. So sometimes it may seem, why is Krishna doing this to me? Or why isn't Krishna reciprocating with me in the way that I want? Maybe because the way you want, or may I want, isn't really in the best interest of a pure loving relationship with Krishna. It may not be like that. So Krishna sometimes, you know, reciprocates in ways that may not be easy for, you know, a devotee to understand. Sometimes, like we see here, I mean, Krishna is remaining. You know, he doesn't want to be separated from his devotee. But sometimes we see Krishna disappears from his devotee. It says he, you know, disappeared from, you know, the gopis of Vrindavan. And then why? He explained, yes, to increase your love for me, therefore I disappeared. And then sometimes, I mean, Krishna even reciprocates with those who aren't favorably inclined to him. Like Putana came to poison him. But she got this, you know, position as one of Krishna's mother's nurses in, you know, Vaikuntha. So that may seem, you know, to the, you know, some devotees may seem, well, gee, I'm your devotee, I'm practicing, and you're giving this demon sarupya, salokya, samipya liberation. How about Krishna is free, and he reciprocates freely with those who approach him. So Krishna really isn't partial. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, he says, yes, I am not partial to anyone, but to those who are especially inclined to me, I reward them accordingly. I deal with them in a very affectionate way. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Archita.
The devotee is never in error. Am I right? Is the last sentence or second to the last sentence? So I think maybe if you could explain that a little bit, because I think even devotees who have been around a long time, in my experience, don't understand that, because they claim, yes, that, you know, they believe that Prabhupada is a pure devotee, but he made this mistake or that mistake. So could you please explain that?
Let's see. Where is the exact sentence? Let me read it. Okay, I'll read it again. Okay. The Lord is not far from the devotee. He is always in everyone's heart, but only the devotee can realize the Lord's presence. And thus, he is directly connected, and he takes instruction from the Lord at every moment. Therefore, there is no chance of a devotee's being in error, nor is there any partiality on the part of the Lord for his pure devotee. So what does this mean, never, you know, be in error? This means that the pure devotee who is capable of receiving direction from Krishna within the heart at every moment never does anything that is in error in terms of the absolute truth Krishna consciousness. even Krishna, you know, like if you study the nectar devotion, you know, sometimes even Krishna in his leela, in his pastimes, he makes a mistake. He takes one thing for another. It enhances his leela. He mistakes one person for another person or something like that. That happens. So even in terms of Krishna's leela, like once it said he tried to milk a bull, for example, he made a mistake. You know, so is that an error? Well, not really, because it was in furtherance of his pastimes, his leela, to increase his ananda. So anything that increases Krishna's pleasure is not a mistake or an error. To insist on something that would decrease, you know, Krishna's pleasure. I mean, sometimes it said he spoke in broken words to his mother and father to increase their pleasure. So if he was speaking perfect Sanskrit to them, well, that would interrupt that leela. Yeah, so ultimately, what's an error and what's not an error depends on what pleases Krishna. So we might see, I mean, sometimes, even Srila Prabhupada misquotes a verse. Is that an error? In the ultimate sense, no. You know, on some material platform, you might say yes. But what this means is the devotee is never making a mistake in his relationship with Krishna, ultimately. He's always doing the right thing for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, for the pleasure of Krishna. Swavas.
Jai, thank you for a nice class. This impartiality aspect, it's a bit confusing to...
It is.
But maybe I can confuse it more. But it almost seems implausible that Krishna would allow one of his sons and entities really desire to be a mass murderer, or just to randomly slaughter and kill people. And because Krishna, you know, ultimately he's there, he's giving everyone the intelligence and the knowledge. So to an ordinary person, this would be very inconceivable to think that a father could or would want or allow or even help one of their children to become a mass murderer, create unbelievable mayhem, like let's say Hitler. Mm-hmm. You know, how is it that the Supreme Lord would give facility, the power, the strength, the intelligence, and all these things in order to create carnage and havoc?
Mm-hmm. It's not Krishna's desire that someone do these things, but okay. It's not Krishna's desire that they do these things. Neither is it Krishna's desire that someone be either the person who kills or the person who is killed. That's not, you know, Krishna's desire. It's the sum total of their own desires that anyone is engaged in these things, either as killer or killed. And this is and it's something that even in terms of ordinary material, you know, dealings, say when you have, you know, parents and children, that ultimately the parents may try to educate. They have desire for what the children should be. You know, anyone who becomes a parent has a desire for what their child should be. And they can do everything possible to encourage, you know, the child in the right way. But ultimately, the child is going to act. On his own, and the parent actually isn't going to be able to control it. I mean, even we were hearing about the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, the other day. His parents had a certain vision for him. Of course, this is the opposite, you know, like, but, you know, it's not, they had a certain vision for him, but ultimately they tried to control him in every possible way to make him conform to their vision of what he was supposed to be. But ultimately they decide, well, they found they couldn't control him. They had to let him go. I think every parent finds this out, that at a certain point you can't control what the child is going to do. But that doesn't mean that the parent doesn't have feelings, just like I'm sure Krishna wasn't very happy, you know, with what the soul that entered the body of Hitler, you know, sort of did, you know, on that level. Neither was Krishna very happy that a lot of the souls who, because of their karma, their own karma, had to be the victims there. He wasn't very happy with that. And therefore, he's always coming and trying to say, get out of this mess that you've created, giving every opportunity. Because he's not responsible. Krishna isn't responsible for that. That was the result of the sum total of the desires of those souls that they entered into those dealings. And it may have been possible, you know, for Krishna to control everything, but then what does Krishna have? He's just got robots. And Krishna doesn't want robots. He wants people who freely use their independence, their limited independence, to love him and behave in a proper way. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.